Maybe if all bees everywhere were thriving, we would not give them much thought. But events like the major bee kill in an Oregon parking lot a couple of summers ago focused attention on the many problems facing bees, which by extension are potentially problems for us, because bees are an important part of the system that gets food to our tables. You've heard lots of talk about pollinators of late. You'll likely hear a lot more. Oregon just celebrated something called Native Bees Conservation Awareness Day on Saturday, a declaration of the governor created the day after some pushing from our first guest. Lisa Arkin is the executive director of Beyond Toxics in Eugene. Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm also doing well. It is a beautiful day.
Not a surprise that we ended up getting to something like Native Bees Conservation Awareness Day. Tell us about the process of getting to it, though.
Well, Beyond Toxics recommended to Governor Brown that Native Bee Conservation Day be established in light of the 12 different recorded bee die-offs that have occurred in Oregon lately. In fact, there were 5 new bee die-offs this summer in Portland, and the primary culprit, the victim of those die-offs are native bumblebees. And so we need to do more to protect them. They just seem to be at risk here in Oregon.
Okay, so this is a good chance to get into some terminology here, because I must admit there are a few times in the past I've got a little eye cross trying to keep track of the difference between bumblebees, honeybees, native bees, European bees. A lot of these terms get thrown around, and here's our chance to pin some of these down a bit.
That's a good question. So native bees are those that are endemic to North America. That's what we're talking about here. Honeybees are actually not native to North America. They were imported from Europe. Native bees are, well, there are about 4,000 species in North America, and here in Oregon we have 200 to 400 unique species of native bees. And native bees tend to differ from honeybees in that they're not social bees. They don't live in a big hive where a queen bee is serviced by many of her sisters and daughters. Most native bees are solitary mothers. They build their own nest, usually small burrows in the ground or in the hollows of plant stems and snags. And they provision their own offspring by themselves.
Interesting. So the whole kind of colony or hive situation just isn't present for the native bees.
That's right. And that's why when native bees die in these insecticide poisonings or through loss of habitat or disease, it's devastating, because each mother, being that she cares for her own offspring, if she doesn't return to the nest, that nest will not survive into the future, and all of that pollination services and the genetic material of that mother bee is lost.
So do native bees do much of the pollination out there?
They are actually much more effective pollinators than honeybees, and that's another reason for having a Native Bee Conservation Day, is to raise awareness about their unique role in protecting the ecosystem. In fact, native bees in Oregon pollinate a lot of the crops that our agriculture economy depends on, plus wild plants that honeybees can't pollinate or poorly pollinate. And in fact, when native bees are present, honeybees seem to do a better job of pollination. It's an interesting symbiotic relationship there.
So it's not like they outcompete each other, but they work together pretty well.
They do, and bumblebees can fly farther than some honeybees, and because of their strength and their size, they can actually open up types of flowers to get at the pollen and pollinate better than honeybees. They're strong little girls, I guess you could say.
So is bumblebee the same thing as native bee? I mean, here again, we're running into terminology.
Oh, there's so many types of native bees. Bumblebee is one kind of native bee. There are mason bees. There are leafcutter bees. There are sweat bees. It goes on and on.
All right, all kinds of stuff here. Lisa Arkin is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the executive director of Beyond Toxics, based in Eugene. We're talking about Oregon Native Bees Conservation Awareness Day, which was this past Saturday, August 15th. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about bees and their importance to the ecosystem. 800-838-3760 around the region. Maybe you've got stories about bees near you. We'd like to hear about those. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. How much arm twisting did it take, Lisa, to get the governor's office to go ahead and make this proclamation?
Not at all. I think she was very receptive to the fact that Oregon needs to protect native bees. And, you know, we haven't talked about what they do in our environment. Of course, they're really important to agriculture. They pollinate many of the berries, the apples, and the pears that Oregon is known for. But the National Academy of Sciences stated that 75% of all flowering plants on the earth rely on pollinators in order to set seed and create fruit for the next generations of trees, flowers, and plants. So when you look at it that way, native bees provide the foundation for the balance of ecosystems. In fact, wildlife, including everything from grizzly bears to songbirds, depend on bees to pollinate 70% of the plants they need to feed themselves. So, of course, we're aware of how bees impact humans because they provide pollination services for more than a third of the food we eat. But what they do in our ecosystems is support mammals, birds, aquatic life, and without their services in that regard, we would see a slow crumbling of all ecosystems. Their role is incredible.
It's a major role in the food chain, for sure, to make sure that that folks that are down the food chain from us, I suppose you could say, are getting the food they need.
Right. They're really essential to the ongoing integrity of all ecosystems.
So how was Oregon Native Bees Conservation Awareness Day? That is a mouthful, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
How was it observed?
Well, we had celebrations in Eugene and Portland. We had partners that put on events where folks could come and learn about bees. We did events for kids where they could make seed bombs. A seed bomb is where you make little balls of seed and clay and compost, dry them out, and then throw them wherever you can to create more wildflower habitat for bees. We had kids making sachets of flower petals that are pollinated by bees. Some restaurants made incredibly delicious dishes using honey and lavender. And Mountain Rose Herbs made a special pollinator tea that was used in some pretty fantastic mixed drinks. There are lots of activities. And this was the first year, so we're hoping it'll catch on. And there'll be a statewide celebration next year.
Oregon Native Bees Conservation Awareness Day, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join us with Lisa Arkin, the executive director at Beyond Toxics in Eugene. Phone number is 800-838-3760. Works anywhere in our listening area. Share your stories or ask your questions at that number, 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. So let's dig a little bit into some of the real nitty-gritty here, because it has not been, as you point out, a good couple of years for bees in Oregon. And I referenced the one event, which was at Woodburn, was it, or was it Wilsonville?
Wilsonville. Okay. That was one big one. They got a lot of press.
All right, and that was the trees getting sprayed in a Target parking lot, wasn't it?
That's right. A similar event happened in West Eugene, where linden trees were sprayed with neonicotinoid insecticides, and many, many thousands of bees, primarily bumblebees, perished. But even this summer in Portland, there were reported bee deaths. And when the Oregon Department of Agriculture investigated, they found that no neonicotinoid pesticide had been sprayed in 2015. The shocker was that the pesticide had been sprayed in 2014. But because it is so biopersistent and because it lasts so long in the systemic system of the plant, that poison was able to kill bees a full year after it had been sprayed.
Really? So it wasn't just a matter of a new application. This was an old application that just hadn't gone away.
Right. Neonicotinoid insecticides have been banned in the state of Oregon for application to certain types of trees that are particularly attractive to bees, and linden trees are part of the Tilia species. They have this gorgeous yellow flower in the summer and very fragrant, and bees seem to favor it. But that tree also tends to store this pesticide. Neonicotinoids are also very persistent in water. They've been found to be able to be detected in water for up to 7 years, and they also kill the types of bugs in the water that feed fish and birds. So that's probably a really good case for why so many environmental groups around the nation are urging states and the federal government to just get rid of neonicotinoids, not to regulate it, but to simply ban it.
I noticed the name getting used on a national level now when it seemed like we were just first hearing about this with the Wilsonville die-off a couple of summers ago. And the whole country can now pronounce neonicotinoids. What are they? The name would seem to imply it's some sort of synthetic tobacco or some derivative thereof.
Yes, it has a neo or nicotinoid in it. And in the past, farmers used to spray sort of a nicotine substance on trees to get rid of insects, and the Neo, it's a new synthetic insecticide that has the same properties.
Because I remember hearing about people protecting apple trees and things like that from other bugs by spraying tobacco on them or some
That's
sort of
right.
tobacco-y tea thing. And so this is the same general kind of idea, just done from a more synthetic source?
You've got it. That's right.
And what does it do to the bees? I mean, it kills them, obviously, but I mean, how?
Well, it's a neurotoxin, so it shuts down their central nervous system. It causes convulsions. When I went out to the West Eugene bee die-off and took some photographs and video, it was just heart-wrenching. These creatures were convulsing in the street, their legs pulsating, their wings, you know, vibrating and going around in circles. But we also saw dead salamanders and other kinds of creatures that these insecticides can poison. So,
which kind of gets us to the major point of Beyond Toxics is that when you're spraying stuff to kill certain small things in the environment, the fact is that those things do tend to travel up the food chain, and large things like human beings end up ingesting some of them.
Yes, in fact, neonicotinoids have been found in as a residue in the fruits and vegetables that we eat. And there's new research going on right now to try to figure out what does that mean for people, especially for children who cannot tolerate toxins in their diet as much as an adult can. Not that it's good for children or adults, but we really have to be conscious of what we're putting into our food systems, and especially the kind of food that children like to eat, like berries and apples, things like that. So being that it is a neurotoxin, I think we need to pay particular attention to the new finding of neonicotinoids in a number of foods.
And the neonicotinoids were banned by the Oregon Department of Agriculture 2 years ago after that Wilsonville die-off, is that right?
They were banned in 2015, so this
year, early
in the year. And they're only banned on certain types of tilia trees.
All right, so just the linden and its family?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Linden basswood, that kind of stuff. Okay. What do people need to understand as we move forward? I mean, there's a lot of sympathy for bees and concern about things like colony collapse disorder and these massive die-offs, which are unrelated, I understand. What should people be thinking about as we go forward and perhaps to another Oregon Native Bees Conservation Awareness Day?
Well, the first thing is not to use insecticides in our gardens, and to do more to advocate for organic farming, sustainable farming in our agricultural sector. We believe that's number one, because we can't keep putting ourselves on this pesticide treadmill, thinking that poisons are going to lead us to a better, sustainable world. They just will not. The second thing is habitat. We need to create better, more diverse habitat for pollinators. I know that's why we were making the seed bombs with the kids, so that they understand that we all can be out there planting seeds to create habitat for pollinators. We can do that in our yards. We can do that in public parks. We can do that in public rights of way. And we can pay attention to saving places where native bees like to nest, like wetlands and prairies. So we have to be conscious when we're developing land here in Oregon that we understand that it's also the home to those essential pollinators which our ecosystems depend on.
Something you mentioned a moment ago, Lisa, about berries and the things that kids like to eat, which reminds me that this is about the season when blackberries ripen around the region, and there's always a concern, gee, I hope somebody didn't spray this bush. Is there a way you can tell?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah. You can't always tell right away, and it depends on the particular product that's applied. So if someone was trying to kill a blackberry, it's possible they're using an herbicide, which is not the same as a neonicotinoid. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to kill the actual plant with an herbicide. Now, I'm not saying an herbicide is good. I'm just saying it's different.
Right.
So these neonicotinoids are used to get rid of insects that like to chew on things. It's used...
aphids and things like that?
Yep. It's used on roses, as well as fruits and berries in the agricultural sector. Now, the city of Portland, along with the city of Eugene, has banned the use of any neonicotinoid on any city property. We have a very interesting project going on in the city of Portland now where we're going to try some test plots where only organic methods are used for the promotion and growth of roses. So, you know, Portland is the city of roses and has that gorgeous garden there in Washington Park and a few of the other parks. And in the past, they have been using a granular application of neonicotinoids to get at some insects that like to chew on new rosebuds. So this coming year, the city will invest in organic rose maintenance as a test plot and just see how far they can take it.
All right, a lot changing. Oregon Native Bees Conservation Awareness Day, prompted by the efforts of the folks at Beyond Toxics in Eugene, where Lisa Arkin is the executive director. We'll keep our ears open and see if there's another version of Oregon Native Bees Conservation Awareness Day in 2016. Lisa, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson
Thank
Exchange.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And we hope other states will follow suit, and all across America, people will be conserving and protecting native bees.
Okay.